The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Rams fans, welcome into Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight, the Rams got a major spark back last week, but can it continue? Plus, don't look yet, we're talking playoff races. And later, the Rams host a team that is from their original home. We preview the Browns at the Rams. Before we get started, RamsShowcase.com is where you can find the most up-to-date information about the podcast and myself as well. Under that merch tab, RamsShowcase.com is where you can snag your Rams Showcase t-shirts. We got two different styles in three different colors, and they are absolutely awesome. We are foregoing a video version this week of the game preview, as I thought I would be feeling a little bit better coming off this surgery. But forgive me, I'm doing audio only, at least for one more week. We'll see what happens in the future as far as going into next week, when the Rams are heading over to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. Also, this does leave up in the air the Rams Showcase Live, the Monday stream coming up this next week, which would be the 4th. Not sure if I'll be able to get that one in as well. So just keep updated with the Rams Showcase socials. I do want to get back on there. I'm kind of antsy to get back on there, I'll be completely honest. But if you can hear at all that I'm talking a little bit funky, yes, this is a post-surgery Sheriff Joe Bags, so we are just doing our best, all right? So hopefully I'm not too difficult to understand or anything, but in a little bit of pain and a little bit loopy as well, so this should make for some sick content. Speaking of sick content, let's get to it, all right? So Pro Bowl voting is officially open. Be sure to take a moment to vote for your favorite Rams players. The Pro Bowl has definitely lost a lot of its real, true hype, its real intensity and being super cool, but they still talk about it when you're getting your gold jacket, so still extremely important, still worth it to get your votes in for your favorite Los Angeles Rams players. I did see somebody posting, I think the only big push that I've seen on social media as far as like trying to get a specific player in is Ben Skowronek, so that's awesome. I love the Skoplow. I'm definitely not anti-Skoplow, but if we're talking Pro Bowl here, get those votes in, all right? Vote for whoever you think is, deserving of going to the Pro Bowl, I guess. And let's also hope that we don't see our Rams players there. Let's just hope that we have to skip that because we got another game going the next week. We'll see. We'll see what happens, but voting is officially open, so definitely get those votes in. I don't know how limited they are on the voting, by the way. At least used to be where it was pretty strict. You could vote like one time per IP address. Now I think it's a little bit looser. I myself have not watched the Pro Bowl in quite some time, though. I think the last time that I actually sat down and watched a Pro Bowl, Mark Bulger was playing in it as a member of the Rams. So what was that, 2003, I believe? It's been quite a while. I haven't cared about the Pro Bowl in a long time. But hey, it's still super cool, and it's still definitely an important part of the NFL season. Moving on to Rams running back Kyren Williams. He did earn NFC Offensive Player of the Week awards last week for his performance against the Cardinals, where he had 143 rushing yards, 61 receiving yards, and did score two touchdowns through the air. Royce Freeman coming up and helping him as well. 77 rushing yards on 13 attempts. That is definitely a pretty solid average coming out of Royce Freeman for sure. Moving into some transactions here. Not a whole lot as far as news goes. That's about what I had for you. But by the way, super sick to see Kyren Williams coming back and having a big day like he did with 143 rushing yards, coming back off an injury, coming straight off of IR into just kicking some butt cheeks off some Cardinals. So you absolutely love to see that. But getting into the transactions here, former Rams wide receiver DeSean Jackson did retire from the NFL. Jackson officially made over $91 million over his playing career, but has now officially called it quits. Former Rams running back John Kelly does sign to the Browns practice squad. That is the Rams opponent this week, and John Kelly has been on and off of that roster for the last few seasons now. Texans did waive former Rams linebacker Corey Littleton. haven't seen a wave of players or, excuse me, fans wanting to get Littleton back. But former Rams cornerback Marcus Peters did get waived by the Las Vegas Raiders. Have seen a wave of this, although the Raiders did waive Marcus Peters due to his taking plays off. So I'm not sure if Rams fans would actually be interested to have him. I do know that the history of Marcus Peters being a Ram does help, just like Corey Littleton does. And although Corey Littleton not getting a lot of attention as far as like, hey, we need this guy back, Marcus Peters is, and I think a big part of that is his attitude and just that he could potentially, with that attitude in the locker room, give a little bit of a spike to the Rams secondary. Although I think that this Rams secondary has been playing so well the last few weeks, why attempt to taint it with a player such as Marcus Peters, who might do more harm than good where the Rams are sitting right now. Rams did also sign tackle Zach Thomas to the practice squad, so he is back around. Rams signed cornerback Cameron McCutcheon. Cam McCutcheon back to the practice squad as well. So he was a preseason, kind of a preseason standout, back out onto the practice squad now. And cornerback Sean Jolly officially signed back to the active roster. So he was a preseason as well, and did get cut after the preseason was over, but has kind of bounced his way. I think he was on the practice squad for a short time after, for a little bit. Then he was cut from that, now back onto the active roster. So cool to see Sean Jolly back in action. Did get to meet his family out in Denver for the preseason game, and they were just so thrilled. Super genuine people. So it's cool for that whole family to kind of get Sean Jolly back onto an NFL roster. You know that they're absolutely pumped about it. That's good to see. Some NFC West standings. So the rest of the West here, we got the San Francisco 49ers sitting at an 8-3 record. They did beat the Seahawks, and this week they're at the Philadelphia Eagles. Seahawks did, of course, lose to the 49ers with that 6-5 record. This week, they're on the road at the Dallas Cowboys, and that actually going down on Thursday Night Football. Actually, as I'm recording this, DK Metcalf is dropping a football, so that's pretty sweet stuff. I've got it on my phone next to my notes here, and DK just dropping passes. If he wasn't so worried about just beating Akella Witherspoon, maybe the Seahawks could win more football games. The LA Rams sitting in third place, 5-6 record with that win over the Arizona Cardinals this week, hosting the Cleveland Browns and the Arizona Cardinals. 2-10 off of that loss against the Rams, and now we'll head on the road to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So your Rams, the only NFC West team to play at home this week, hosting the Cleveland Browns. Like I said, we got at Philly, at Dallas, and then at Pittsburgh. So tough games for the rest of the NFC West. Tough game for the Rams as well. The Cleveland Browns, will preview that here in a moment, but it does seem nice, at least, to have the only home team of the NFC West. But that moves us into the playoff race, all right? So we're officially talking about it as we head into Week 13. Of course, this is a topic this time of year. I guess I didn't know if the Rams were going to be as big into this conversation at this time of the year. So it is rather interesting to see, and I'm all for it. So sitting right now at the number one seed is the Philadelphia Eagles this week. They do host the San Francisco 49ers, who do have the number two seed right now. So a really interesting game between the current one and two seed, and also the reason why, if you look at the distribution map for the Rams that has been posted to the Rams Showcase socials, that there's not a large area, because that game is definitely taking up the bulk of it. Your three seed is the Detroit Lions, and this week they do play the New Orleans Saints. The Atlanta Falcons slipping in at that four seed right now. Now, a little bit of jumbling going on in that NFC South, but they are at the New York Jets. The Dallas Cowboys sitting at the top wild card spot, and currently right now hosting the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday Night Football, who are the sixth seed. And right now, as I'm talking, Seahawks got the ball at the 9-yard line, potentially about to score again, but Dallas Cowboys, are up by 10 at this time. So if that holds, that is definitely a positive for the Rams, of course. Minnesota Vikings, by the way, sitting at the 7 seed right now. They are on a bye week. And the Packers sitting the first team outside of the playoffs. They do host the Kansas City Chiefs, and that game takes place on Sunday Night Football. And then the Rams sitting at the 9 seed right now against the Cleveland Browns. So if the Rams win, plus the Seahawks and Packers lose, that would be enough for the Rams to slip into the 7th seed. Vikings would move up to the 6th, and then at that point, the Rams would, in fact, control their own destiny. Once you are sitting in the slot then you officially do control your own destiny. So that is exactly what we're looking for right now out of this LA Rams team. If we can get a win and both the Seahawks and Packers lose. By the time you hear this, I'm guessing that the Seahawks game will be over, so you will at least know that much of it. And the Packers hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. So that does feel like something that could reasonably happen. Although we did think that last week with the Packers against the Lions on Thanksgiving, and the Packers able to pull out the win. Eagles are the only team in the NFC that have a playoff clinching scenario, but that's not really relevant to the Rams. There is one of those scenarios that includes the Rams losing where the Philadelphia Eagles would clinch a playoff spot. But let's be real here. We don't need to talk about Eagles clinching playoff spots. They're going to make the playoffs, all right? If the Eagles don't make the playoffs, something extremely catastrophic happened, and then we will talk about that because that will be very big news if the Philadelphia Eagles crumble so far that they completely fall off of the playoff race. So again, the Rams playing against the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are sitting in a playoff spot right now and are going to desperately want to hang on. The Kansas City Chiefs going against the Green Bay Packers, they are going to be jockeying for position as we get into the later parts of the season, especially in the AFC. Minnesota Vikings can't really help themselves right now being on that bye week, but Josh Dobbs with the 4 interceptions last week, he definitely is looking a little bit more mortal. And can we call him what he is? Like the 20s version of Ryan Fitzpatrick? He's just going to show up to new teams, play sick for a little bit, and then kind of fall apart. The Seattle Seahawks, they are fighting the Dallas Cowboys. They just did score a touchdown, so that is going to be a tight game and a matchup that is going to be tough. But again, the Seahawks have a pretty tough remaining schedule, so that is something to consider as well. Dallas Cowboys, I'm not sure if that is something, a team that the Rams could surpass, but they also already don't have the head-to-head advantage over the Dallas Cowboys with that loss earlier in the season. The Atlanta Falcons is a team that we can kind of keep an eye on as well, because when you look at the Saints and the Bucks behind them, that could be teams that are kind of jockeying for position when we do get to the later part of the season. The Rams do play the Saints later on. Detroit Lions look like they'll hold on to at least one of the top 3 seeds, such as the 49ers and Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles, though, probably going to hang on to that 1 seed if I had to guess. Although this week against the San Francisco 49ers, that is one hell of a matchup and actually some really good football to watch. But at the same time as that game is the LA Rams hosting the Cleveland Browns. And right on the other side of this break, we will get into our game preview. The Cleveland Browns coming to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. We've got that full game preview that's coming up next right here at Ram Showcase.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Los Angeles Rams hosting the Cleveland Browns this weekend at SoFi Stadium for Week 13. The Cleveland Browns sitting with a 7-4 record. The Rams sitting at 5-6 right now and barely out of the playoffs. Just one game out of a playoff spot right now and officially creeping further and further away from that potential number one overall pick that some fans were hoping that the Rams would teeter towards. Instead, though, sitting more towards the playoff race and sitting kind of in the middle of the pack now as far as the draft position goes. I want to say that the Rams were sitting at about 13 right now heading into Week 13, but also that could be wrong because, well, I'll be honest, I don't really pay that much attention to that right now. I kind of just, once the season's over, it's like, oh, we're there? All right, cool. I don't got to know right now, and I don't need to know all the scenarios about where the Rams could be drafting going into Week 13 against the Cleveland Browns. This game kicks off at 1:25 p.m. on Fox from SoFi Stadium. We get Kevin Kugler and Mark Sanchez on the call. They will be in the booth, and typically this is paired with Laura Oakman, but I will, as you will see as we continue here, the page that I normally go to for a lot of my information is currently down right now, so I believe it'll be Laura Oakman on the sideline. That is standard that they keep crews together for the whole season, but that is, of course, not confirmed officially. If you're a better for this game, the Rams sitting at -3.5, and that's pretty solid. I mean, sitting with a 5-6 record, hosting a 7-4 team, and you get that 3.5, that is pretty good to see. Rams money line -178. So Vegas feeling pretty good about the Rams. Gotta love that. And the over-under sitting at a 39.5. And I gotta say, with these two offenses and these two defenses, I'm hammering the under on that one. 39.5 does feel like it's a little bit too high. I would put it a little bit closer to that 34 range if I was Vegas. But although I am not Vegas, I'm just trying to get money from it. The Rams also partnering with One Piece for this game. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, totally real here. And this is not for me to try to sound cool or anything. I don't really understand what's happening. Okay, so I do know that there's some kind of partnership here. I don't even really understand what One Piece is. I do know that it's an anime and that it's been on for quite a long time. That is the extent of my knowledge on this. And I will take no further questions on it because I don't really understand it. Okay, but it is super cool. And with it being an anime, being something that I'm assuming that more children are geared towards, that this is actually the kind of the perfect kind of thing to get that younger generation interested in your team. And I love to see that kind of stuff. Like it's like the whole Taylor Swift thing. And I know that that just turned off a bunch of people listening to me, but I will say that I think it's really cool to introduce more fan bases into the sport that we all love, that we all watch and absolutely are here for. So if you happen to be a One Piece fan who is watching this game because of this connection, or you happen to be a Taylor Swift fan who's only watching football because that now she's kind of tied in with that, I'm all for that. And I think that that's absolutely awesome, because what happens if one of these people only are watching because of something else, something unrelated that happens to just tie in for football for a couple of weeks or so, or 1 week like this One Piece deal is, and instead they find out that they absolutely love this game and they stick around for the long term. That's kind of the hope, right? And I'm all for that for sure. So the Rams coming off of back-to-back wins over division opponents, which is super, super sick to sweep two bird teams, sweep two division teams. Sandwiched in there was Thanksgiving. It just seems so fitting that the Rams were able to take over the Seahawks and the Cardinals and clinch a winning division record on the season. But that's absolutely awesome. So, of course, though, clinching a division, a winning division record this season, the Rams are now sitting at 4-1 in division, 1-5 outside of the division, with their only outside of the division win coming in Indianapolis against the Colts. That game that went to overtime, where we needed Puka Nacua to score his first ever career touchdown to get the win. Rams just also 1-2 against AFC opponents so far this year, so would love to bump that back up to 500 and just kind of narrow that gap a little bit, because right now seems like the Rams are having some success in division. And yes, that 49ers game, although that the Rams did lose that, it was just a 7-point game. So you got to consider that. Of course, also, we can go further in and say that that field goal at the end to try to push it to a 7-point game, try to do the onside kick, that it was more realistically a 10-point game. But either way, the score at the end said a 7-point difference. So that's pretty good news. But 4-1 record, like I said, in division. There's just one more division game to go. That will be San Francisco in San Francisco in week 18. So we do have a few more weeks until we have to worry about that. But of course, this Rams team right now, we're feeling good about it, right? But I said it in the bye week, is that the Rams had already beaten the Seahawks, already beaten the Cardinals. It's not unrealistic to win those two games, sit at 5-6, and be having playoff conversations. Well, that brings us to today, which is exactly where we're at. In this game here, going against a very, very good defense in the Cleveland Browns, and a situation where the Browns are still fighting for their lives as well, still trying to fight and battle for division against a team that will play next week. So there's a lot of moving pieces in this right now. And if the Rams want to be a true contender, a true team that can be looked at as a legitimate playoff option and threat, then this is a game you have to win. You're at home against a Browns team that is potentially down to a third quarterback. You have to come out on top and win this game. Even if DTR does play, you still need to win this game. So the Browns, they have been playing really well. They're playing some really good football, especially on the defensive side. But when you might play Joe Flacco, you can't lose that game. All right? Because if DTR can't go, Joe Flacco's playing. In DTR or Joe Flacco, you gotta win. You have to win this game if you want to be taken serious, all right? And it's just a shorthanded team. Like, Joe Flacco being expected to take snaps for the Browns if DTR can't go, I mean, that's not good if you're a Browns fan. I know that much. But at the same time, it's that time of the year where everybody's a little bit more beat up than you would hope that you are. And the Rams absolutely have to take advantage of this game in this offense. And it's a good defense that we're playing. But hopefully what would be happening here is that you can get enough or like lower their offense enough to hold their offense back enough. Sorry, I'm trying to like keep my eyes on this game and also talk. And that's a bad idea. I'm going to stop that. All right. So, but hold their offense enough so that your offense can just put up enough points to win the game. Get out of the game, right? You just need to win and move on. That's the ultimate goal here. Let's take a look at the matchup here. So this is the Rams offense against the Browns defense. And the Rams offense sitting middle of the pack right now, putting up just under 356 a game in total yards. The Browns defense first in the NFL, giving up under 270 a game. That is absolutely nuts. And passing the football, the Rams are 14th, putting up 226.6. Browns defense first in the NFL against the pass, only 142 a game given up. And running the football, the Rams are putting up 114. That is tied for 14th in the NFL. And the Browns defense is giving up just under 106 a game. That is 12th in the NFL. Their only real true weak spot, but it's still top 12 grouping there. And points being scored, the Rams putting up just over 21 a game. That is 16th in the NFL. And the Browns defense giving up 19 a game. That is 7th in the NFL. So the Browns defense ranks near the top in just about all things that are important, which is obviously critical. And that's how you get the number one ranked defense coming into week 13. That is definitely not a bad thing for the Browns. Offense, though, for the Rams, definitely a different animal when Kyren Williams is on the field. So having him back for last week, you could tell there was a massive shift in the way that the Rams offense is able to operate. And it's not that Daryl Henderson's a bad running back. It's not that Royce Freeman can't handle the load. It's that Kyren Williams is a different kind of beast. And when you get him on the field and he's like in his rhythm, like he clearly was against the Cardinals, then you have some really good stuff going for you. And it opens up a lot more of your offensive playbook. Rams offensive line definitely has their hands full this week, but with some protection, I do feel like the Rams could exploit this defense because the Rams have a lot of playmakers. And I know that the Browns also have a lot of playmakers in the secondary, but when you get a Cooper Kupp rolling, and he hasn't in the last few weeks, so let's see if he can kind of get that going. Puka Nacua, who's obviously been unbelievable this year. Tutu Atwell, who is definitely having his best career season by far, although I would like to see a little bit more consistency from Tutu, but then you add in Kyren Williams, Tyler Higbee, who's coming off of a big day. The Rams do have enough weapons to exploit this secondary for sure. And the Browns defense, like I said, no joke at all. These rankings are not bogus. They are playing some very good football. This might be the Rams' biggest offensive test of the year so far, but it does help a lot that the Rams are pretty much officially healthy right now. You take away the bumps and bruises that you have with like a Cooper Kupp ankle and some issues like that. Kyren Williams obviously just coming back from IR. You got Tyler Higbee, who's been dealing with something all year. Matthew Stafford, who's just like basically an old man, is going to be always a little bit beat up, but he's okay. You know what I mean? But like either way, I mean, the Rams are as healthy as I think you can be entering week 13, and that's very good news. But the game plan here, that is going to be the most important part of this whole game, is the game plan against a Jim Schwartz defense that is absolutely critical. So we'd obviously love to see a little bit of that McVay genius brain come out a little bit in this week. But it also does help that Jim Schwartz was the head coach for Matthew Stafford in Detroit. So maybe some game planning there will be a little bit easier. Maybe there's some good conversations going on right now in those meeting rooms about how to defeat this very, very talented defense. Your 3-C on the offensive side, we're going to go ahead and start with Kyren Williams, who is an extremely easy pick. He is an extremely easy one to pencil in as a 3-C, definitely on the offensive side here. But it's just different. Like I said, the offense is different when Kyren Williams is on the field. Channeling his inner Steven Jackson and getting those production levels up is absolutely huge right now for this Rams offense. Getting rolling against the Browns is definitely critical, especially because of the way that the Browns defense is set up. 12th against the run, first against the pass. So if you can make them think that, or not only think, but also you are just attacking them on the ground, but them also think that you're going to hit it maybe a little bit heavier with Kyren Williams, maybe that'll open up some play action. So to get him rolling, to get that at least, that part of the Rams game in motion is going to be absolutely huge. So Kyren Williams getting going will be the first domino kicked over into the entire Rams offense being able to get rolling, which brings us into Matthew Stafford. We just watched Matthew Stafford have his best day of the year so far against the Cardinals. If the Rams are going to be a team to make a push for the playoffs and actually be a legitimate contender, we will see that continue in a game like this. Even against a very, very good defense, you have to be able to find a way. So the Rams entering week 13 healthy, that's kind of wild, of course, but a nice relaxed day from Stafford where he's not forcing the football and he's just kind of reading it and getting it out into the hands of his playmakers who can definitely do the real damage. You see what Cooper Kupp, Tutu Atwell, Puka Nacua, what these guys can do when the ball's in their hands. So that is step one. Get the ball into their hands. Let them do playmaker stuff out there. So Matthew Stafford just needs to relax, take a breath, and just deliver the ball and just not force it. Because you see, you start forcing balls against this Browns secondary, you're going to have a bad time. All right. And then next up, we're going to go with Tyler Higbee. Like clockwork, if I say that it's maybe a time for a player to take a bit of a back seat and let's see what some other guys have, that player that I said should maybe step back a little bit has an unbelievable game. That's just the way it is. The second I put out a video called Tutu Atwell is a bust, he scored that deep touchdown against the Saints last year, and it's like, yeah, that checks out. but Higbee, of course, doing the same. He had an unbelievable week last week, so if he can get a repeat, that would be obviously awesome. But off of his easy best day of his year and reaching new milestones as well, with what he was able to do against the Cardinals is pretty sweet stuff. So a big repeat out of Big Rig should be just another reason for Rams fans to have some confidence as we enter the stretch here. So if he can have that again, that would be a reason for your eyebrows to maybe raise an elevation with some confidence and maybe some curiosity about what this team could be potentially doing as we head into the stretch of the season. We're into officially going to be December now. So yeah, this is it. This is time to buckle it down and start rolling. So the December wins are absolutely huge. Obviously the Rams just got one of their first November wins in quite a while, but December wins, if you want to win in any playoff setting or any kind of racing, anything like that, December wins are obviously just a mandatory. You don't lose in December and good things happen to your football team. That's just not the way it is. So big, big game for the Rams this weekend as we crack into December. So let's go to the other side of the ball here. We have the Browns offense against the Rams defense. So the Browns offense, lower half of the pack right now. They are 19th in the NFL, putting up just over 341 a game. Rams defense, middle of the pack, giving up just over 347 a game. That's in total yards. Passing the ball, the Browns, 27th in the league, just a little over 181. I don't expect that those numbers would continue to climb simply because of the quarterback issues that that team is seeing. Rams secondary, Rams pass defense, just under 218 a game. That is 14th in the NFL. But these last 2 weeks have been playing very, very good football. So we look for that number to keep on improving towards the Rams side here. Running the football, this is where the Browns really make their money, putting up almost 140 a game. The Rams defense giving up over 113 a game. That is 18th in the league, but the Browns offense, that is third in the league. And points being scored, just under 22 for the Browns, while the Rams are giving up just over 21 a game. As tied for 16th for the Rams defense and 15th for the Browns offense. Rams secondary has truly been on fire for these last 2 weeks. I think that is a very important matchup in this game. And leading the league in passes defended in the previous 2 weeks, I believe it was 17 in the last 2 weeks, which is unbelievable. Jordan Fuller off of his big day last week against the Cardinals as well, so that's obviously good to see. Secondary, though, has been all over the place. You absolutely love to see that. The Rams front and being able to confuse the Browns' signal caller this week is going to be an absolutely massive thing as well. So getting a little bit of a mix-up in there and just whoever it happens to be, if it's DTR, if it's Joe Flacco, I mean, both have their weaknesses in terms of either experience or abilities right now. So you should be able to take advantage of either of those, and confusing them is going to be huge. But that Browns offensive line, definitely not bad at all. But they have not had to deal with an Aaron Donald and Kobe Turner. Turner, again, keeps getting better every single time he touches the football field. Ernest Jones, getting the rushers and coverage guys on the same page is going to be a massive one for this week as well, as it typically is. But going against, if it is going to be the rookie quarterback, and we really don't know. I mean, it's a concussion protocol situation for DTR, so we don't know if he's going to be good to go or not. So I'm very much like talking like either one of these guys could be playing. DTR or Joe Flacco could be playing in this game for sure. But with that new emotion coming from this Rams defense the previous few weeks, this could be a really good opportunity for the Rams defense to have a really big day. And maybe the best opportunity to date for this Rams defense to have a big day, because they do seem to be kind of wiggling into their own right now. Even Darian Kendrick's playing really well right now after his issues earlier in the season. It seems like everybody's kind of starting to find their rhythm right now on this defensive side, and that's obviously extremely good news. Your 3-C on the defensive side, we're going to go ahead and start with Ernest Jones, who is a very easy pencil in for the 3-C, but Jones proving to be an absolute staple in this defense. He's becoming a pillar of this team right now, and this is the kind of game that could, having another one of those Ernest Jones days, well, that just that dries that cement a little bit more into being one of those pillars, to being one of those very critical just people in this team. Just one of those guys that we have to have out there, you know, and just getting guys on the right spots, and what will be either an inexperienced quarterback in DTR or an aging veteran in Joe Flacco, that could be enough to have a really, really big day for this Rams defense. Next up, we're going to go with Jordan Fuller, coming off of one of his best days. Fuller has quietly been having probably his best career season. With weapons, though, like Amari Cooper, Marquise Goodwin, and Elijah Moore, Rams secondary definitely has plenty of guys to watch for. But the experience of somebody like Fuller on the back end should give fans some confidence that at least we won't get beat over the top. And we have seen an increase, seems like weekly, on John Johnson's reps as well. So Fuller and Johnson in the backfield covering deep, there's just something about that it just feels so unstoppable to me. Because Jordan Fuller was the reason that I was okay with emotionally, I guess, because I didn't make any choices here. I don't choose who stays and who goes. But Jordan Fuller's existence was why I was okay with John Johnson originally leaving. Because it was like, well, at least we got Fuller, who kind of slips into that role a little bit. But having them both on the field at the same time makes this defense very exciting. And last in our 3-C, we're going to go with Kobe Turner. Officially a guy who's taking advantage of having a monster like AD on the field right next to him. The conductor. He's getting better every single week, and he's getting past his initial blocks faster and faster every single week. Honorable mention, of course, goes to Byron Young, who is also playing great ball. But Turner, I think that he's just taking very noticeable leaps week in and week out. Like, think back to even just like we could go against Indianapolis or something like that. So one of those early season games where we can think of Kobe Turner, he is dramatically better today than he was back then. And that's obviously exactly what you want to see out of your rookies, to see them get better and better and better every single week. And not only better and better and better every single week, but like we can see it happen. We're watching it happen right in front of us. We can see that Kobe Turner was better in this game against the Cardinals than he was against the Seahawks, than he was against the Packers. You know what I mean? Like he's getting that much better every single week, where every single time he touches the football field, we can actively see that he's better at the game of football. And that is something that is so hard to find and so rare to see. So Kobe Turner's ceiling, we don't know where this train ends. Is it kind of like a Willy Wonka elevator ride? We don't know. We don't know if it's just going to come crashing through and he's going to be like an all-time great, but he is off to a killer start and definitely taking full advantage of having Donald right next to him. Let's change gears here into looking at some milestones. So my sheet that I normally look at for a lot of this information is currently down, but I was able to do enough research to, I think, kind of hold it down here. So Matthew Stafford did reach 11th all-time in passing touchdowns. He did pass Fran Tarkenton, and he does need 20 to tie Eli Manning for 10th all-time. with not as many games to go on the season. It was at 6 games to go. That'd be pretty tough to hit the 20, but we are still, of course, hoping that we see that happen for Matthew Stafford. He does need 2,452 yards to tie Eli Manning for 10th all-time in all-time passing yards, and does need 429 passing yards to reach 55,000 all-time. So 429, that is something we should see here within the next few weeks. If not this week, that'd be a pretty big day for Stafford, especially right now in his career, but definitely not impossible. Moving on to Aaron Donald. So he does need 3 tackles for a loss to tie Julius Peppers for 3rd all-time. He is 30 away from the all-time record, which is currently held by Terrell Suggs. Aaron Donald needs 1 sack to to tie Greg Townsend for 41st all-time. He needs 2.5 sacks to tie Randy White for 40th all-time, and 3.5 sacks to tie Chandler Jones and Justin Houston, who are currently still playing, as well as Lyle Alzado for 37th all-time. Quick sidebar note on Lyle Alzado, one of my all-time favorite NFL stories. My grandma, who I've actually talked about, I've told this story on the show before. My grandma was a absolutely huge Denver Broncos fan. I've got so much of her memorabilia sitting here with me in my studio right now. But she was so mad at Lyle Alzado for signing with the Raiders after being a Bronco that when her and my uncle, who is also unfortunately passed, they were out at the LA Coliseum watching the Broncos and Raiders, and my grandma starts just yelling crazy obscenities and stuff at Lyle Alzado, which is definitely not out of the ordinary. If you knew her, you're like, yeah, that checks out. But then Lyle Alzado tried to enter the stands to fight my grandma. That's one of my all-time favorite football stories, and if you can top that, feel free to try, dude, because that is so sick. It also helps a lot that it is my grandma and that I do know her and that it totally checks out that Lyle Alzado, yeah, tried to fight my grandma. That is the short version of my all-time favorite football story. Moving on, Tyler Higbee. He did reach 10th all-time in receiving touchdowns in franchise history, which is super, super cool stuff. And there was some confusion on my part, I suppose, as I've been talking about him reaching top 10 in franchise history all-time this whole season. And then he did, and the Rams PR team on X did say that he's now 15th, which does not add up in my numbers, and I'm going to still say 10th. So if there's some other numbers that I'm not looking at here, forgive me. Puka Nacua does need 1 receiving yard to break the Rams record for receiving yards by a rookie. That is, he is currently tied with Eddie Kennison's 1996 record. And so, yes, he is right around the corner and 76 yards away from becoming the first Rams rookie to ever reach 1,000 receiving yards, which is unbelievable to know, first of all, that the Rams have never had a rookie 1,000-yard receiver, considering the incredible rookie wide receivers that the Rams have had over their time, but also that Puka Nacua is going to be the first one and almost assuredly will break this record, right? He needs just 1 yard to pass Eddie Kennison, and currently, by the way, his 924 is currently 8th in the NFL. That's amongst all players, not just rookies. Let's take a look at the history of this matchup. The Rams do lead the all-time series 13-11, making this the 25th all-time meeting between these two franchises. The most recent game came on September 22nd of 2019. You remember 2019? Before the world was terrible. The Rams won that game 20-13. The Rams have won the last 3 against the Cleveland Browns, the last Browns win coming on October 28th of 2007. That was a 20-27 Cleveland win. That was Mark Bulger, Steven Jackson scored a touchdown, Torrey Holt caught a short touchdown, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And that was the only Browns win over the St. Louis Rams. Only 1 win for the Browns over the Rams during the entire time in St. Louis. First ever meeting between these two came on Christmas Eve of 1950. That was a 28-30 win for Cleveland. The Rams did, of course, start their history in Cleveland, left and became the LA Rams, and the Browns' history is a little bit fractured, as the Browns did, of course, leave for Baltimore to become the Ravens, and then the new Browns took over the original Browns' history from the Ravens, so officially counts as just that one franchise that never relocated. But we all know the truth. We all know that you're not the real Browns. You're the fake Browns. You're the new Browns. Gross. Connections here. This is also a one that I had a very tough time on because of the pages that I look at. And I'm looking at you, Rams media department, cutting me off of my info here. That's all good, though. But I was able to kind of look at the rosters here and kind of do some digging myself. So on the Browns, excuse me, former Rams, we do have punter Corey Bohorquez and linebacker Obanya Okoronkwo, who is, of course, a former draft pick of OU or the LA Rams. John Johnson did play for the Browns for just a bit. And then Matthew Stafford played under Jim Schwartz in Detroit. So that, I think, really could be, I know I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but that really could be an underrated connection in this game. And I think that is actually pretty important that the brains of Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay get to go against the defense of a Jim Schwartz, which I do think is a favorable matchup. I'll be honest here. I know that the Browns rankings and all that stuff, they say one thing. But if you give me McVay versus Jim Schwartz, yo, give me McVay on that one. And then also, I was just kind of, as I'm digging through, I'm just kind of peeking at coaches' names and the rosters and all that stuff. Now, of course, we had John Kelly, former Rams running back, onto the practice squad of Cleveland. But one name that popped out to me was Bill Musgrave. He is a senior offensive assistant, and this is actually this is a Sheriff Joe Bags connection here, as my dad went to high school with Bill Musgrave, and Musgrave is the reason that I have what is, like, I think it's five degrees from every current Rams player and or person in the building, because my dad knows Bill Musgrave. They went to high school together. Bill Musgrave was the backup quarterback behind Joe Montana and Steve Young in San Francisco, which was the team run by John McVay, Sean McVay's grandpa. So that is my connection here. So to my dad, to Bill Musgrave, to the 49ers, essentially, and John McVay, to McVay, to Sean McVay, our McVay, and then into the world of the entire Rams whole world, I guess, is the way to put that. That's not the way to put that, but again, this is surgery week. I'm still having a bit of a tough time. All right, can you leave me a little bit? So that's pretty cool stuff. All right, so again, Cleveland Browns, oh my gosh, at the Los Angeles Rams this coming Sunday, SoFi Stadium, 1:25 p.m. kickoff time, and this should be a fun one. A big test for this Rams offense for sure. And this Rams offense has definitely not gone against a team, I would say, that's this problematic on the defensive side in the Cleveland Browns. But there's something about this matchup, like I said, that I actually like. And maybe me saying that is exactly the reason the Rams will lose by 40. But I also don't think that that's totally true. I also don't believe in, like, jinxes and stuff like that. And I realize that even me saying that, some of you are freaking out. And that makes me kind of smile, actually. So that's fine. But if I had to give a prediction on this game, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think that the Rams offense will do more than the Browns offense. So, you know what? I am not opposed to seeing this, or I guess, I don't know, opposed. I'm not opposed to seeing a 2-0 game. I don't care how much the Rams score, as long as it's more than the Browns. But I could realistically see a 17-6 game coming out of this one. That feels very real to me when we're looking at this matchup specifically, because the Browns, not a bad football team at all. And beating or losing to the Browns is definitely not something that you should if you lose to the Browns, you shouldn't be like, oh, our season's over, we lost to the Browns, because they're a very good football team. But also, beating the Browns with a backup quarterback situation, the DTR Joe Flacco situation, it is also a team you have to beat. If you want to be taken serious, you absolutely have to beat this team. So again, we are not doing a video version of the game preview. Just please hang tight with me as I kind of recover and deal with all this stuff. This is my first ever surgery, so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling okay. But I went back to work today officially, so we are at least living a little bit of a normal life. But I'll be back to full swing next week, and that is the plan, to get the video version back up and running next week when the Rams do take on the Baltimore Ravens. That also being said, I do have one of my good friends He goes by Mystic. He is a Ravens fan. So we've been planning on getting together for this game to do something as far as the conversation goes. So look for that as well, which also might impact the Rams Showcase Live schedule. But again, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. I'm kind of getting into the weeds on my scheduling just a bit. So Rams Showcase socials is where I'm going to try to keep as updated as I possibly can. So keep up there. But other than that, that's your game preview. Cleveland Browns at Los Angeles Rams. Coming up on the other side of this, we will go into our fan quesos, which I should have looked at ahead of time. You never know what you're going to get when I have no idea what's coming. That's on the other side right here, Rams Showcase. All right, let's go ahead and dive into our fan quesos here. So first ones, we'll start open on Facebook. And first one here, coming from Tyler. Potty Mouth Tyler, as you might. Oh, wait, was that Potty Mouth Cody? Who was here? I don't know. Either way, one of the, you know what? They're both probably Potty Mouths. All right. I'm splitting hairs here. They're both probably Potty Mouths. Anyway, Tyler, where do you see the Rams ending the season at this point? And do you see us going on a roll or stopped in our place? You know what, man? That's a great question. And I know that coming off of these two wins right now, Rams fans are probably sitting pretty confident right now, sitting in a situation where we feel like we can close out the season in this same realm, right? But again, I talked about it into the bye week and going into these last two games, that these are two teams that the Rams have already beaten before and beaten handily, like beat the butt cheeks off of both of them earlier in the season. And to play them again, obviously the Seahawks at home, Arizona on the road is not much of a task, a tough task, I should say. It's very much one of those things that, like, I never hear anybody talk about how the Rams fans absolutely blow that place out every year. But because it doesn't really matter. But to come off of these two games, that doesn't really tell us everything. These last two games are not season defining. What I will say is I think our next three are. We have the Browns, the Ravens, and the Commanders. So a Browns team with a backup quarterback, you should absolutely win that game. The Ravens, that's going to be one hell of a matchup. Realistically, you lose that game, but obviously you want to win it. It's an early kickoff game in Baltimore. Those are super tough for the Rams. We know that. And then you come back against the Commanders, stay home against the Saints, then you're at the Giants, and then you finish up in San Fran. So, I mean, I think that coming up right now is where we're really going to see what this team is really made out of. And where do I see this team ending at this point? I mean, realistically, man, and I know some fans might hate this or something, but like I could see this team going 3-3 throughout the stretch. I don't think that would be super crazy at all to see an 8-9 finish. I don't think that's nuts. I also don't think that bad. All right. So we're already at our win total from last year. And we knew that coming into this year, this wasn't going to be the year, right? We knew that coming in, this wasn't going to be a year where the Rams are just like making a huge push. We're selling out. We're signing Eric Weddle and OBJ and Von Miller. Like, we knew that wasn't going to be this kind of season, right? But we've already tied our win total from last year. We knew that it was eat cap, develop youth season. And we feel pretty good that we'll get to more wins than we did last year, right? Because we're already there now with six games to go. With some duds on the schedule, like the Commanders, Saints, Giants. I mean, realistically, this team's going to win more games than it did last year. And I already think that's a massive win. I think that when you look at when you zoom out a little bit and take out those emotions of like, can we make the playoffs or can we get a top five pick? When you take out those emotions to zoom out and say like, man, this team sitting at 5-6 heading into week 13 is actually pretty sick, especially considering five win team last year. So where do I see this team ending? I think that this team can make the playoffs, but realistically, I do find us missing just barely. Being that 8 or 9 seed, being out of the playoffs, although I'm not rooting for that, but that is kind of where I'm kind of ballparking this Rams team. This team has been very young, very, very prone to mistakes from the youth, and I don't think that we're through that yet. We're not just like now all of a sudden because we've been playing some really, really good football, in fairness, especially on the defensive side. I don't think that that's enough to say that, like, yeah, it's like we're good now. Like we're gonna shut everybody down. We're gonna get some teams that have some sick game plans against us. Some teams that confuse our secondary. So I mean, just the way it's gonna happen. So do I see us going on a roll or being stopped in our place? I don't think either, really. I think that we are about what we are right now, And coming off of this Cardinals win, I think is huge. It definitely feels good. And to get to 6-6 would be incredible. And maybe I would have a different answer if this team gets to 6-6. And it's not that I don't think that we're going to lose to the Browns. It's that I think that we'll see some things in this game to say like, oh, we're not a Super Bowl team, but we are pretty good at football. And I think that for this season, the 2023 season, where it was a eat dead cap and develop your youth, I think that's okay. I really do, especially going into next year when we have a buttload of dollar bills to spend and a first round pick finally for the first time in a long time. That's actually right now my new favorite thing to ask to strangers is tell me the last Rams first round pick. Nobody ever gets Jared Goff. I know we all do because we're very in tune, but nobody ever does. Let's see here. Next one here coming from Gary. Does Kupp still have trade value this offseason? Yeah, absolutely he does. He's still known as one of the guys, one of those top guys that can do it. And I think that this conversation specifically, Gary, because when you bring up like maybe we should trade Cooper Kupp, people lose their minds. And I said it a couple years ago, this is before the 21 season, that if we're going to trade a guy, it should be a guy like Kupp, who's got mad potential, but he's rarely out on the field. He's been, you know, like he's really good when he's out there, but the best ability is availability. And we've had some issues with that. He's had one fully healthy seasons. We do know that that season was unbelievable. I mean, he triple crowned Super Bowl MVP season, one of the best wide receiver seasons, if not the best wide receiver season this league has ever seen. But that alone, 2 years ago, does not mean that we need to necessarily like dig our heels in and be like, no, we can't get rid of him because he was capable of that 2 years ago. So I do think that there is some trade value there. And I do think that is something that the Rams should explore and see what is available out there. And I also don't think this is something that the Rams fans, that if this is something that happens, that Rams fans should just completely disregard and say is a bad move no matter what. Because we don't know that, you know, and with the emergence of Puka Nacua, with Tutu Atwell playing better, DeMarcus Robinson's get a little bit more involved in the offense. He's looking good. Austin Trammell's looking solid in the offense. Cooper Kupp is a little bit more expendable these days. And I'm not saying that I want Cooper Kupp gone. I'm not saying that I'd be happy to see him get traded. I'm just saying it does kind of make sense at this point of his career and what his entire career in its entirety has looked like. It would not blow my mind off if the Rams did make a move for Cooper Kupp. Next one here coming from Cody, another potty mouth. How worried are you about our offensive line holding up versus Myles Garrett and company? Worry is not something I do about this team anymore. I just watch because I can't control anything. And also, AJ Jackson, pretty damn good. And he's been up and down this year, in fairness. Him and Steve Avila, that left side has seen its ups and downs. But right now, it feels like it's a little bit more on an upswing. So I like that trend as we go into this game, especially considering that Myles Garrett has not been practicing. Let me take a quick peek here at the injury report one more time to see, because I believe he was back. No, he is not back still. So they're still saying rest, shoulder. And that's for his Thursday practice, so did not practice on this day as well. So we'll see how that kind of shakes up. But he is a little bit hobbled right now, so I think that does at least help the Rams at least a skosh, you know? Oh, snap. I just see one of my new favorite bands just released a new song. I'm going to check that out after I'm done recording, but I need to first get done recording. All right, so let's get over to the YouTube channel here. And we'll start with Mike, then we'll wrap up with Payo time here. It says, will Tutu score against the Browns on Sunday? Damn, Mike. Good question. I hope so, dude. I mean, I hope so. I don't care who scores, as long as they got horns on their helmets and not those dumb Vikings horns, like the real ones. Because, I'm not a big fantasy guy or anything like that, but as far as like Tutu Atwell in this game specifically, I do think that the Browns will be a lot focused on Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. So I do think that there is potential for Tutu Atwell to kind of sneak in there. We saw that last week as well. That first catch that he had on that first drive, that deep ball down to the right side, when that ball was thrown and watching Tutu Atwell even run, it looked like he was slowing down and to get the ball. And that's not the part that got me. The part that got me was that he slowed down and shielded off the defender using his body. Using Tutu Atwell's body Tutu Atwell shielded somebody. Do you realize how impressive that is? Dude's built like me. That's insane. To be able to use that frame to shield off a defender and catch the football on a deep ball? Hell yes, Tutu. That had me fired up. I was absolutely losing my mind on that one. So Tutu Atwell definitely coming into his own. And I'll be honest. All right, so I did that video last year. Said the title, I tried to make it as blatant as I could. I said LA Rams wide receiver Tutu Atwell is a bust. All right. And then I saw like his podcast where, I'll be honest, I don't know if he watched it or not, but I think he did. But I'll tell you this now too, that I got a Tutu Atwell jersey in the mail. I ordered myself one because I feel like that's the least that I could do for calling out somebody on my own team saying like, this guy sucks. This guy is a bummer. Get this guy out of here. He is a bust. And then he comes in the next year looking good, looking motivated, looking focused, looking fast, looking hungry. And for that reason, that's why I snagged his jersey, because I absolutely love that, man. If I call somebody out and say that they're absolutely terrible, they're never going to be worth anything, and then they prove it wrong, he doesn't have anything to prove to me. I'm a dude right now talking in his living room with his cat looking at him about the Rams, all right? So, yeah, Tutu has nothing to prove to me, but the fact that he takes that kind of thing and translated it into success is absolutely awesome. But now what I don't want to happen is Tutu Atwell to be like, oh, people think you like this stuff, guys? Like, and then he just like, he's the same guy forever. So maybe we all need to collectively agree that we're going to trash Tutu and with the hopes that he does awesome. It's like tough parenting, right? There's something in there. There's some psychology in there. But I am now a Tutu fan, and I do hope he scores on Sunday against the Browns. I think that'd be awesome, man. We do the whole Tutu train celebration. You know, you pull the horn, Tutu, Tutu. That's the Tutu train. So join up, man. Every time he catches a football, all of us out in Colorado, we're blowing the horn on the Tutu train. Good stuff. And a last view coming here from Payo, and then we'll wrap it up here. First one here is going to come from Payo. What are your thoughts on Austin Trammell this season on special teams? I like him, but I still miss Brandon Powell. On special teams, it's so hard to form an opinion on Austin Trammell, dude. He's got like two returns, one's decent. Like, you know, I don't dislike Austin Trammell at all. I just don't think he's getting any opportunities. And I think our gunners are making him nervous. I will say though, last week, Tomlinson had a play on being like the coverage for that, like trying to be a blocker on that I thought was unbelievable. I was hyping him up at the bar. I was like, yo, I was like, dang, dude, Tomlinson was on fire for that play. Like I was hyping it. So you love to see that kind of stuff, man. Just the way that he was able to control where that other guy was running and obviously allow Austin Trammell to catch a clean ball. I thought that was huge. So to say though, Austin Trammell on special teams, yeah, I think it's, I would say that people would say that I don't pay enough attention if I say that he's doing even remotely close to what Brandon Powell did. Brandon Powell is much better than Austin Trammell. No hate towards Austin Trammell. I like him, especially now he's popping up on offense a little bit. I'm actually kind of liking that, and I'm liking what he's able to bring to the offensive side, which is pretty cool stuff. But as far as like him as a returner, it's hard to form an opinion, dude. It's so hard to form an opinion. Next up is, what is the worst loss in your time as a Rams fan outside of the two Super Bowl losses? Jets in 2019, some games from 2009. 2009, I would say no, because we knew that we were just terrible. So it's like you go into every game being like, I hope we can hold it to under 21 points. You know, it was one of those. The Rams and Patriots in London, the one where Chris Gibbons scored first and then the Patriots just did not let that go or something. That was pretty bad. Jets in 2019, that's up there, man. That's a bad game. Packers game this year, that was one of the worst performances I've seen this team pull off. 2018 against the Bears, that was pretty lame. I'm trying to think back here. 2016, the Falcons at the Rams. I just remember Jared Goff just like, it was like, oh my God, what have we done? Like, it was one of those games where, like, this guy's supposed to be the guy, and we gave up what? Oh, no. You know, but then obviously it worked out. But, like, it was one of those games where it was just really bad. I'm trying to think back to some older ones. I don't know, man. That's a kind of a tough one. Those are some good ones though in there. As far as you're right, the two Super Bowl losses definitely up there. That second Patriots one, man, that one. Oh my gosh, scoring 3 points, 3 points. Oh God, I still get frustrated. That's the only game because I regularly go back. I'll watch highlights. I'll watch game replays. I'll watch the all 22s. That's a very regular thing in my life that I'll have the game on more than once. That's Super Bowl 53. Only once. I have watched it live, and that is it. I haven't even watched replays of that game because I can't handle it. So yeah, there's some options for you. Next up from Payo Time, if Morris gets a head coach job this offseason and Brandon Staley gets fired from the Chargers, is he your top pick to be the Rams' new DC? You know what, man? I'm definitely not opposed to that one bit. Raheem Morris does feel like he could get a head coaching job this year, and I'll be honest, I'll throw out my prediction right now. I think he gets the Raiders' job. But either way, I think that that Brandon Staley is also going to get fired, in fairness. So I do think that that would be a very strong pick. Although I don't want to, I'm no sleeping on Aubrey Pleasant, dude. I'm big fan of this guy. I think he's absolutely unbelievable. And maybe he's not going to be a defensive coordinator yet, but I do think he should be in those conversations very, very soon. Aubrey Pleasant is the man, and I don't care what any Packers or Lions fans have to say, all right, about my boy Aubrey Pleasant. That dude is an unbelievable coach, unbelievable man, and I want to see him as the Rams DC sooner rather than later. And if Raheem Morris gets a head coaching job, my vote is Aubrey Pleasant, and I'm campaigning Aubrey Pleasant. But if Staley were to come back and get that job, as long as Aubrey Pleasant sticks around, I'm absolutely for it. But to see Aubrey Pleasant back in the secondary, I think that's why we're seeing Jordan Fuller have an incredible year. I think that's why we're seeing Russ East have an incredible year. I think that's why we're seeing Akella Witherspoon show up and be incredible. I think that's why we're seeing this turnaround from Darian Kendrick after the stuff that he went through. I think that he's why, because Aubrey Pleasant is such a good coach, and I don't think he gets nearly enough credit. So I campaign for him all the time here on Rams Showcase because I never hear his name anywhere else. So Aubrey Pleasant for president. You heard it here, man. But yeah, Staley, I would definitely not be opposed to that, man. I really like the way that Staley's defensive scheme was with the Rams specifically, but obviously it's not working out there. But I also think that he might be one of those guys that, like, head coach is too far, DC is where he needs to be. So if that is the case, bring him on back. Thank you for your fan quesos. I genuinely appreciate that. It's one of my favorite things to do every week. I'm glad that was able to find its way back into the Rams Showcase podcast. But if you'd like to leave yours, follow on YouTube and Facebook as well, and leave those comments there. You can also just message me on social medias if you need to reach out to me that way to ask those questions. That's at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags. RamShowcase.com, click under that merch tab. That's where you snag your Ram Showcase t-shirts. And did have a tough time last week with getting everything in as far as the game preview written forms and all that stuff. But again, it was surgery week, dude. Just leave me alone. All right, I'm doing my best here. I do this thing alone, so go be so slack. But that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio, the fan-sided network, and Broad Street South. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening, and go Rams!